Everybody?
Hello.
Today's scripture reading is going to be Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 28a. Yes? Yeah. I didn't have a chance to look it up in the Pew Bible. Does anybody have the page number in the red Pew Bibles?
625.
625. Thank you, ma'am. So if you want to follow along, you can join us there or have a look up on the screen. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will cut you to pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain it to the king, the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." This is the word of the Lord. Will the children please come down? Good morning.
Good morning.
Who likes money? Oh, good. Well, I have a coin with me today, and you can have it.
But there's a catch. You have to pick it up with just one finger. You think you can do it?
No.
Can you pick this coin up with just one finger? You think you can't? I think you're right.
With both fingers,
yes. You kind of need your thumb, because unless your finger's magnetic, it won't pick it up, right? Yeah, you were tricky. You slid it off and got it that way. But you know what? That's the way Mr. Ron would do it. But you can only use the one finger to pick it up. It's pretty impossible. You're using your thumb now. You're using your thumb. That made me think about Daniel's situation in the scripture that we read today. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream. And he also didn't know what it meant. So he asked for some help. But he didn't ask the right people. Right? He asked all of his smart men in the town to tell him what the dream meant. But he couldn't tell them what the dream meant. And so, when they couldn't do it, he said, well, then you're all going to get killed. Off with your heads. Done. And Daniel would be included in that. And that wasn't what Daniel wanted, because Daniel knew God had a plan. So, let me have that quarterback, please. Instead of trying to pick it up with one finger, Daniel did something. You know what he did? He prayed. He asked God, he said, God, this is an impossible thing for me to do. It's impossible for any of us to do by ourselves. But you can do this. And he and his friends prayed, and God made it possible for them to be able to tell Nebuchadnezzar not only what the dream meant, but what the dream was. So all you have to do, Ben, all you had to do was ask me, and I would just give this to you. Do you want this?
Yes.
Can you ask for it? Can you ask for it? May I please have it? You may. And that's how God is. If we ask God, he is going to answer our prayers. He's going to give us what we need. And all we have to do is ask. And Daniel and his friends knew that. They knew that God was in control. God knew everything.
God bless you.
And so, all they had to do was ask. Sometimes things seem impossible for us. We try, we ask the wrong people, but we need to remember that whatever we ask, in Jesus' name, God will do according to his will.
That's right, man.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you hear us when we pray, that you help us out of impossible situations, and that you give us wisdom and courage to do what you have called us to do. So hear us now as we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you will help me to speak clearly what you have for us today, that you'll help us to receive it into not only our ears, but our minds, our hearts, and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Are you the kind of person that remembers your dreams?
Sometimes?
For 1.5 seconds.
For 1.5 seconds? That's very precise.
And then it's gone.
Okay. So they tell us, I don't know who they is, maybe scientists, tell us that everybody dreams, but not everybody remembers their dreams. Paul and I both have vivid dreams, and we often remember them, and they're strange and wacky. This week I did not get a lot of sleep, and one of the nights, I lay in bed, my mind wasn't even racing. I have no idea why I couldn't fall asleep. I lay in bed for 3 to 4 hours, and the last thought that I had before finally falling back to sleep an hour before my alarm went off was that I needed to write something down in my pastor's report. And then in the hour between that thought and my alarm going off, I had this crazy dream, and it was like here, and there were all these new people coming, and it was really cool, and there was going to be a gospel choir singing, which, if you don't know, I used to sing in a gospel choir. I love gospel music. It's my favorite. So that was great, but then there were all these new people coming, and they all had these concerns, and I couldn't manage all of them, and I was trying to get ready for a service, and it was taking forever, and the gospel choir ended up leaving, and it was just total chaos. So when I woke up to my alarm, I was actually very relieved. And I can kind of identify with Nebuchadnezzar, who had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he couldn't sleep. However, I, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, did not command or even ask Paul or any of you to tell me what I had dreamed or even interpret it for me. For one thing, when my dreams need interpretation, I am pretty good at doing it myself because I, like Daniel, know a God who reveals mysteries. And so do you. For another thing, I'm not a king of an empire who's constantly terrified that someone is going to snatch his power away from him, which is part of Nebuchadnezzar's problem. So Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon and basically of the known world. He has conquered all kinds of other countries and he's ruling all of them. And this one night he can't sleep and he has a dream and it bothers him. So he gives up and he calls his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. So I told you last week that the book of Daniel has, the first six chapters have stories, and at least two of the stories, there are these repeating lists of groups of people like this. Magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. And some people think that the reason why that these lists occur like this is that he's sort of poking fun at the system. So, because the lists repeat. So if you look back at this chapter this passage that Kathleen read for us earlier, you'll see this list, magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, over and over and over again. And it's kind of like they're saying, look at the bureaucracy, you guys. And also, in this story, look at all the help that Nebuchadnezzar has. Who look to gods that can't help? Right, it didn't work. And it's also a reminder to the audience, who's the first audience of this book? Who are the first people that ever would have encountered these stories?
The Jews.
Yes, the Jews after the exile. And the reason they were in exile is because
they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. They were looking to other gods.
Yes, they were looking to other gods. So this story, part of the way that it's told is to remind people, the magicians and sorcerers and astrologers and enchanters, sorry, I had to look at my notes. They are looking to other gods that you also were looking to, which is why you were in Babylon in the first place. These guys can't help. So, this is why, and we'll see in a couple of weeks, there's another story that has a different list, but it's a similar effect that the list gives. And so, you guys, you Jewish people, the writer of Daniel is saying, were chasing after these other gods, and so now you ended up with a king like this. And a king like this is Nebuchadnezzar, who is paranoid. The more power you get, you might have noticed when you look at people in power in the world, the more power that someone gets, the more afraid they are of other people taking it from them. The more money someone gets, the more afraid you are of people taking it from you. This is what happens. So Nebuchadnezzar can't sleep. He has this nightmare. He's disturbed. And so he calls the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and says, I had a dream that disturbed me. I need you to explain it to me. Okay, tell us what it is. Nope, you tell me what I dreamed and then tell me what it means. So when I was a kid in the 70s, there was this musical called Cool in the Furnace that I used to love to listen to the soundtrack of. And in that version of this story, this leads up to the fiery furnace part in that musical. And in that version, the king cannot remember his dream. But the actual biblical text doesn't tell us this. It seems like Nebuchadnezzar is disturbed by the dream, and something about it, the thing that disturbs him about it is that he feels like maybe in the dream there is something that is a threat to his power. And if you're the person in power, you have all these people around you, you have your cabinet and your whatever, I don't know, all these advisors and stuff, and apparently magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and you can't really trust any of them. So he's afraid, I had this dream, and it makes me think that maybe I'm going to lose my power, and these guys might be behind it. So the only way I'll know if they're telling me the truth and they're really telling me what the dream actually means and they're on my side is if they can tell me what the dream is, too. He wants to see how truthful they're going to be with him, and they can't do what he's asking them to do. And so he says, "You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change." What situation? The Nebuchadnezzar's the king situation? We don't know. And the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers say, "Only the gods can reveal information like this, and they don't dwell with mortals." Do you think that maybe somebody said, "What is your job then?" They can't do their job, which is to somehow be in touch with these other spiritual beings. They're saying, "We can't. They don't live near here." The pagan king, the pagan gods, and the pagan wise men can't do anything. And they're all divided from each other through mistrust. And because of that, that is why they are powerless. The more the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers protest that the king's demand is impossible, the more he insists that they do it until he's threatening them with death if they don't comply. And not just death, but like really gross death, and then their houses are going to apparently be razed to the ground too. He wants to annihilate them. This isn't good management of government, I feel. So there's this kid's book, I think we've mentioned it in here before, because it's actually it's got a really useful little gimmick in it. I think Barb has used it in a children's sermon. I think it's called Fortunately, Unfortunately. Anyway, this character in the book goes through these bad and good situations, and they get more and more ridiculous. So we can use that here in this story as a little recap. Last week we saw that, unfortunately, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are taken into Babylon. Fortunately, they are not killed. Unfortunately, the king wants to make them Babylonians. Fortunately, they have the favor of the chief official. Unfortunately, the chief official is afraid of the king. Fortunately, one of the lower guards is willing to give Daniel's proposal about the food situation a shot. Fortunately, the plan works. Fortunately, Daniel and his friends are taken into the employ of the king really quickly because of their wisdom. But today, unfortunately, their skill set lumps them into the same category as the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. So, the Bible tells us, the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So what does Daniel do?
Uses.
Okay, he goes to God. But there's a process. What were you going to say?
tact and wisdom.
Right. I thought that was really interesting. That verse says he went to the, basically the executioner, with wisdom and tact. You would need some significant wisdom and tact to go right up to the executioner. We have already seen last week that Daniel is a person of integrity, and he will not compromise on his identity as God's person. But the way that he doesn't compromise is so out of the box in regards to how he interacts with people who might appear to be enemies. His enemies, God's enemies, his people's enemies, he interacts with them in a really unique way. And in this way, he honors God. Daniel has figured out, as a very, very, very young man, that when God is acknowledged as the true king, other people benefit, and somehow he manages to tailor his interaction with pagans, enemies, hostile peoples, in a way that God is glorified. And not just he and his friends, but other people benefit. So, this is his process. First, it's similar to last week's process. He gets information from a reliable source, in this case, the executioner. He goes to Arioch and he says, hey, what is going on? And Arioch tells him. And so Daniel asks for a little time, and he goes directly to the king, at least according to this. I think we need to pay attention to how unusual this is. Even if you're in the cabinet, you don't just walk into the Oval Office anytime you feel like it, right? In chapter 1, it tells us that Daniel and his friends and the other exiles were supposed to go into 3 years of training. And it's possible, it doesn't contradict anything to say that they didn't, but the way that the story is told, it sounds like they went from zero to the Oval Office in like 5 seconds. It doesn't seem like it took 3 years. So here's some rookies who are already wise men of Babylon, and one of them is just getting a private audience with the king of the known world who has a temper and paranoia problem, who is ready to kill all the people that are like the guy that's trying to talk to him and make a super bold request. This is crazy. This doesn't work unless God is behind this, right? Even if the 3 years of training had actually happened, still, comparatively, this guy's a rookie. This is pretty remarkable. So he goes to the king and he says, listen, give me some time. I'm going to figure this out for you. And amazingly, the king gives him some time. And then Daniel goes and he enlists his friends that he was allied with last chapter, where they were working on the food thing, and he says, we're going to pray, we are going to pray and pray and pray until God tells us what this dream is and what it means. And God, the King of Kings, grants their requests. It says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Daniel praises God. I have this tendency in my life when something good happens, or when you tell me something good happens, I genuinely mean it when I say, oh, thank God, or praise God, I really mean it. And that's about all that I say. Right? Then you and I move on to other things. Daniel does not do that. So I want us to practice getting a little more intentional with our praising of God. So Rand, can you put up the thing? We are going to say with Daniel, in our imaginations, the praise that Daniel says, just to get us involved in this story. You can read it on the screen. Some of it may not feel like it applies to us, but in fact, God has made known to us the dream of the king. We're going to talk about that next week. So, let's praise God. You can stand if you want to. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Amen.
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 Was that weird? Good. I feel like it might be a little weird if we did that every time we were in a conversation and someone said something good, and we said, praise God, and then we went into this big long thing. But I do think it's good for us to really sit in the praise every once in a while. And really think about all the things that went into God's answering of our prayers. And then, immediately after Daniel praises, I think verse 24, which is the next verse, is the key verse. It says, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Okay, I'm going to tell you why I think that is the key verse here. In the past, many times in this church, we have talked about how the good news isn't just when I die, I'm going to go to heaven because of Jesus. It's not just the good news of forgiveness from God, but it is the good news of reconciliation and unity in God. And I often tell us that there's four areas in which we're reconciled. Does anyone remember what they are? I'm going to start you off. Between us and God, we are reconciled. Between each other.
Each other.
Within ourselves, yep. Creation, yes. So when Jesus restores our relationship with God, all the other relationships in the created order that God made to be good are also restored. Not usually instantly, it takes a little while. But we have reconciliation with God, then with each other, then with creation, and then within our own selves. And in this story, so God is a God of unity. In this story, we have seen that the gods of Babylon do not promote unity. They don't live near here. They don't actually help their servants. They don't, and then their servants end up fighting against each other and trying to kill each other. The king is terrified of losing his power that he believes his gods gave him. Remember how last week we said he took the stuff from the temple in Jerusalem and put it in the temple of his god? That was his way of saying, thanks, Marduk, or whoever, for letting me take over those guys. Here's all their god stuff. Please use that as incentive to help me keep my power. He can't trust his god to keep him in power. The wise men can't actually acquire divine wisdom, and you can tell that by their excuses that they're not really connected to divine wisdom, and the gods don't dwell with mortals, and everybody passes the buck. Can you think of another Bible story where people pass the buck?
A lot of them.
A lot.
How about the first one?
Am I my brother's keeper?
Okay, am I my brother's keeper? But the one before that, Adam and Eve.
The
right.
Woman that you
the
gave
woman
to me.
The woman you gave me, the serpent. When we are not connected with God, we divide.
That's on my phone.
Right. But not Daniel. Daniel does what Jesus would do if he were Daniel. We're always talking about what would Jesus do if he were me or if he were you. What Jesus would do if he were Daniel is identify with people in trouble. Even if, in this case, the people in trouble are pagans, they actually are usually in power, they don't believe in the right God. Think of all of the excuses Daniel could have made to Arioch. He did not have to do this for anybody but himself and his three friends. He could have said, well, we weren't there. The king didn't ask us what the dream was. We don't have anything to do with it. They really weren't there. He had to ask Arioch why they were about to be killed. We don't believe in those gods. We don't do magic like that, but we'll pray for him, okay? But he doesn't do that. He does not pass the buck. He is being treated like one of the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, so he willingly identifies himself with them and acts on their behalf to save their lives. And yes, it saves his life and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's life too, but he could have just said, well, the four of us prayed and we got the interpretation and we're going to tell it to you and forget those other guys. But he doesn't do that. He says, the first thing he says, he doesn't even tell Arioch, oh, we figured it out. He says to Arioch, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. First things first. And then he says, take me to the king, I will interpret his dream for him. The wise men of Babylon did not help. They didn't do anything. They didn't believe in the right God. They didn't deserve mercy, but Daniel worked on their behalf, identifying himself as one of them, just like Jesus did for us. We have a God who dwells among mortals. Even before he came in the flesh, he wanted to dwell with us. Not like the magician, enchanter, sorcerers, and astrologers' gods. Our God comes near. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. And he was including himself in this. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Next week, we're going to talk about what the dream actually was and what it meant. But this week, I want to invite and challenge you to see if you can notice ways that God is inviting you to be like him by identifying with other people and advocating for good things to happen for them. Even if they're people who maybe you wouldn't normally want to identify with and wouldn't necessarily feel like they deserve mercy and grace. Even if all you can do to advocate for them is just to pray for them, well, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies, right? Ask what Jesus would do if he were you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a God who dwells with us. We thank you for Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. We thank you for your Spirit, God in us, helping us to know your heart and mind and to make good choices. We ask that you will help us to love like you love and care for the people that you bring into our paths each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our final hymn is Be Thou My Vision, a prayer that we will see the way Christ does.